Jobs suck. Jobs really suck. Do you agree with that? Well, in this video, I want to tell you about some of the jobs I've had in my life and just some of the bad experiences I've had at my jobs. Now, you might not know this, but right now, I don't have a job. I don't have a job. YouTube is my job. Very often people ask me down in the comments, they say, "Mark, what's your job? What do you do in real life?" Well, this is what I do. YouTube is what I do, and I'm very thankful for that. I don't have a boss. I don't have someone to tell me when I can eat lunch, when I can go to the bathroom. I don't have anybody to yell at me or try to control me or manipulate me. So I'm really thankful for my YouTube channel. I'm thankful to you guys for just being so supportive. And I thought, you know what? I should make some videos on how to start a YouTube channel because YouTube has been such a big help to me that it might help you too. And I know my channel is not about that. My channel is about teaching English, and I hope you've learned some English over the past 2.5 years. But I want to help you in more ways than that, than just English. I want to help you in some real practical ways in your life. And I thought, since YouTube has helped my life so much, I mean, right now I'm here in Thailand. I'm enjoying my life, like I said, I don't have a boss to tell me when I can go on vacation, when I can't, and I just really thankful for my life right now that I thought, maybe I could help you in some way too. I'm not an expert, but I could probably maybe give you some nuggets that would help your life because I've figured out how to go from zero subscribers, zero views. Now to over 300,000 subscribers. So thank you guys so much just for helping my life and just making my YouTube channel such a great place for me and for other people. I know other people have sort of made friends on my YouTube channel, and that makes me really happy if you guys are friends with me but also friends with each other. So thank you so much for doing that. Now, how do I make money? I don't have a real job. This is my job. So there are three ways I make money. The first way is by people watching my videos. So if you're watching my video right now, there might have been an ad at the beginning of the video, right? Or somewhere else in the video. So if you watch, if you watch my videos and you see those ads, YouTube, that's how YouTube makes money. Okay, companies pay YouTube to put their ad in the video. And then YouTube gives me a cut of that. A cut means a percentage. I don't really know how it works. It's sort of complicated. I don't understand YouTube. But they give me a cut of that, and the more views I get, the more money I make. So thank you guys so much for always, watching my videos and watching the ads. Do you watch the ads or do you just skip them? You better not skip them. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know if that affects my revenue. Some people say if you watch the whole ad, it's better. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know much about YouTube, but I figured out how to start a YouTube channel, and I just thought maybe I could make some videos about that. So let me know if you're interested. If you're interested in, in that topic, then I'll make a few videos and let me know any questions you guys have about YouTube. A lot of people are confused about YouTube. What is it? How do people make money on YouTube? Well, I'll try to explain those things. But so that's the first way is by getting views. That's how I make money. The second way I make money is by selling books. So you might have seen my website. I just have a simple website where I've written some books on the CellPip exam, the IELTS exam. I've written some books on phrasal verbs and idioms. So yeah, I mean, I make some money on that. People buy my books, and that's really, it really makes me feel special to be able to write books that people want and people buy my books. So thank you guys so much for if you've ever bought my books and for
just watching my videos and everything. Now, the third way I make money is by people just sending me money. Sometimes people just send me money for no reason. You know, under my videos, I have a little PayPal link. I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you know, you're welcome to buy me a coffee. And people do. People send me money on PayPal. You know, I would say about once a week, I get, someone sends me a gift of some money. It might be like $1 or $2 or $10. I think the most I've ever got in a single gift is 100 euros. 100 euros. Can you believe that? Sometimes I feel like, wow, what did I do to deserve that? But, you know, my subscribers are just really nice people. So yeah, I would say about once a week, maybe twice a week, people just send me some money, and that's amazing. So thank you guys so much for your support. So those are the three ways I make money: by PayPal, coffee money, just people sending me money for no reason, and also selling, you know, my books on my website. And the third way is like YouTube views, and people watching the advertisements. So thank you guys so much for your support. It just makes me feel really special to have so many subscribers who sort of like me, who send me nice comments and emails, and just you know, want to support me. So I think that's a great reason to start a YouTube channel, is just for the support, not even for the money, but just to make some friends. And anyway, I'll make some videos on why to start a YouTube channel, how to start a YouTube channel, you know, and like, for example, my apartment here, I can afford to live here because of your help and because of your support. I'm still living back in Canada. Did you know that? I still have, like, my SUV, for example, my red SUV. It's still back in Canada, you know, in the cold, wintry weather in Canada. But, you know, right now I can afford to live in two places at the same time. Now, I mean, Thailand is really cheap. That's why I'm in Thailand. But I'm in Thailand for two reasons. One, I love Thailand. I love Thai people, Thai food, Thai culture. The second reason is maybe just a more practical reason, is that I can actually afford to be here. I can't afford to live in Japan. I can't afford to, you know, to go to other places like Singapore, Korea, Europe. I can't afford to go to those places. Whereas Thailand is, Thailand's cheap enough that I can actually afford to live here and in Canada. I'm going to make an apartment tour video in the next few days and just talk about, you know, show you guys my apartment here, just a nice garden outside, and how much I'm paying for this apartment and everything. So stay tuned for that. But in this video, we're talking about how much jobs suck. So let me know some of your experiences down in the comments. Have you had jobs that are really bad? I've just had so many bad jobs. And I would say jobs can suck for a lot of different reasons, but it probably boils down to two things. The first one is probably a bad relationship with either your boss or your coworkers. You know, if you don't get along with your boss, or you don't get along with your coworkers, it just ruins a job. If you have a great boss and great coworkers, it doesn't really matter what the job is. You know, you can still enjoy that job if you're having fun with your boss and your coworkers, right? But the second reason jobs suck, I would say, is that the job itself is really unfulfilling. For example, I worked at FedEx for about 6 months, and my job at FedEx was to scan boxes as they came down a conveyor belt. Okay, so there would just be an endless stream of boxes coming down this conveyor belt, and I would just scan them, beep, 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 for hours and hours. And I remember thinking, is this the purpose of my life? It seems like my life should have a greater purpose than just scanning boxes, you know, on a FedEx conveyor belt, you know. But I needed the money. I needed the job to stay alive, right? $15 an hour. That's actually the most money I ever made at any job in my life, even to this day, $15 an hour in Canada. Like, I had a lot of jobs where I think most of the jobs I had were between like $12 and $15 an hour. But when I started working in high school, I remember I was the first job I ever had, I made $5.90 an hour. That was minimum wage back when I was in high school, $5.90. So that's probably like, what's that, like $3 or $4 US? So it's not much now when I think back about it. But a lot of the jobs I had later were $15 an hour in Calgary. And even $15 an hour is really hard to live on in Calgary. I mean, $15 an hour is what? It's about $30,000 a year, you know, gross, not net. So that's about, it's about $2,500. I think it's about $2,500 a month. So, but that's before taxes, before CPP. CPP is Canada Pension Plan contributions. It's before EI. EI is employment or unemployment insurance, whatever it's called. It's before union dues. You know, if you work in a company that is unionized, you have to pay your union dues. So, you know, if you make $2,500 a month gross, you're lucky. I can't remember how much I would actually make every month. I think you're lucky if you take home like $1,600 a month. So what's that every year? That's like, it's not $30,000 a year. It's down to like maybe $20,000 a year, somewhere around $20,000 a year. And if you're paying almost $1,000 a month for your condo or your basement suite in Calgary, that's pretty typical to pay, you know, at least $1,000 for a nice apartment in Calgary. And then your food, your car expenses, your just, you know, just life expenses. At the end of the month, you don't have a lot of money left, you know, if you're making $15 an hour. So I think now in Alberta, $15 an hour is the minimum. I think it's the minimum wage now. I think it's the highest minimum wage in Canada. But back when I was working, those years working in Calgary, minimum wage was like $9 or $10, or it slowly went up, but I was always making a bit more than minimum wage for most of my jobs. So anyway, that was one of the jobs I had working at FedEx, and it was just really unfulfilling. You know, actually, I didn't have any problem with my boss or my coworkers. My boss was a really nice woman, but she didn't work in the warehouse with us. She worked in the office, and I never really saw her. And my coworkers, I think they were nice. It was just the job itself was just so mind-numbing, just scanning boxes for hours and hours every day. You know, it just made me want to do something a little bit more fulfilling. And right now, you know, with my YouTube channel, I can do something that I really enjoy. I feel like it might have some value to you, and you know, it's fulfilling to me. I love teaching. I love teaching kids, teaching adults, teaching anybody. You know, I'm not maybe the, you know, the most qualified teacher. I might not be the best teacher, but I love it. I love making videos for you guys and just thinking about, oh, what should I teach today? Maybe I should teach you about some phrasal verb or some idiom or something like that. So I really enjoy this right now. So what other jobs did I have in my life? Well, I worked at a golf course for about 4 months, I think. And that was a great job because it was outside. It was working outdoors, and I just loved it, you know, just cutting the grass, you know, mowing the greens. Have you ever played golf before? I think people love playing golf because it's such a peaceful atmosphere. You're out, you know, and usually there are trees and you got like big open spaces, and you're not like crammed into a tiny place, especially for people like business people who work in an office, and it's just really crammed, and they like to get out on the golf course and just have sort of some wide open spaces. So anyway, I worked at a golf course, and the job was great. I got a lot of good exercise, and at the time I was training for a marathon. So actually, right after I quit that job, I went to Hawaii and I ran a marathon, my first and last marathon. It was great. It was a great experience in Maui. 2009, I ran the Maui Marathon. It was a very good experience. But But at that job, the boss was just a jerk. He was just a, I don't know, just a real control freak. You know those people who, they need to show you that they're your boss, right? They're always walking around and making sure you feel like you're lower than them. They want you to know that they're the boss, right? And he was just a bit too serious about his job. I mean, it was a golf course. Everybody there was nice, but he was always threatening to fire people. You know, he would always go around and threaten people to... He threatened me personally to fire me, and he did fire a bunch of people, but I got pretty lucky he didn't fire me. But anyway, he threatened me. So yeah, I would say that job was bad because of the boss. All the people, the coworkers were nice. The job was nice. You know, it wasn't the most fulfilling job, but it was nice because it was outdoors and I really enjoyed the fresh air and got a lot of great exercise. It helped me in the marathon. So yeah, so that's an example of how a boss can really just destroy a job. Also, I worked as a shipper receiver. Do you know what a shipper receiver is in a warehouse? A shipper receiver is a person who packs boxes and ships whatever the company is selling. That company happened to be selling engraving products. Okay, so I would ship engraving products to, you know, across Canada and I think to the US as well. And also if the company got boxes sent to us, you know, I would open the boxes and, you know, put it on the shelves and everything. So that's what a shipper receiver does. So that was, I worked there for almost a year, I think about a year. But my boss, again, he was a nice guy, I really liked him, but something happened and one day he just threatened to fire me. And that just killed our relationship, you know, it killed our relationship. And so I didn't quit my job right away. I think I stayed for about a month. But after that situation, it was just discouraging. And it doesn't feel good when you're, you know, if there are problems with your boss, especially because here's the thing in Canada, when you get a job, people always ask for your references. They want to call your past employers to see if you were a good worker or not. So if you have a falling out with your boss, it really sucks because then who are you going to use as a reference for your next job? You know, people are going to ask you, what was your last job? And you say, okay, I worked as a shipper receiver. Okay, who was your boss? And call the boss. And if you have problems with that guy, is he going to give you a good reference? You know, I'd be afraid. I mean, right now, if I were to give all my bosses references for a future job, I would be terrified. You know, what would they say about me? I don't know. I don't think they would say, they probably wouldn't even remember me now because it's been so long. But back then, you know, it leaves you in a vulnerable position because you need something from a person that doesn't even like you. You need something from a person that threatened to fire you. So at that job, I actually never got fired, but I just quit. One day I just walked out. I didn't, I had secretly got another job and I didn't even give my 2 weeks notice. Just one day, I just walked out. I said, that's it. You know, if people are going to disrespect me, if he's going to threaten to fire me, why would I give him my 2 weeks notice? You know, why would I use him as a reference? So that's a big problem for people. I've heard of so many stories of people working like 20 years or 30 years at a job and then they have a falling out with their boss. And I mean, what are they going to do? Or they get fired from their job and then they try to get another job and, you know, who are they going to use as their reference? That boss, that guy doesn't like them. He might have fired them. So it's just a tough place to be. And when you need someone's reference so bad, but they don't even like you. So yeah, I'd say that's a big reason why jobs suck. You feel like you don't have any control of the situation. There's so many factors that are out of your control and you feel a bit helpless. And it's not a good feeling when you're in that place. But anyway, thankfully I found a better job than that. And so I quit that job. But that's another example of where I got threatened. to be fired. And it wasn't even my fault. It was just some stupid thing. It was actually the boss's fault. I had asked for vacation. I had asked for to take a vacation at a certain time. And he told me two months prior to that, he said, "Oh yeah, no problem at all. You can just take some vacation time anytime you want. Just let me know a few days in advance." So when it came to the vacation time, I told him a few days in advance, and he told me, "What? Why are you telling me this now? You can't just take off for a vacation now. You need to tell me. You need to give me a written notice." I was like, "What?" Because he had been such a nice guy. He told me, "Hey, you can just give me a few days notice, and you know, other people in the company could cover for me, so it wouldn't be detrimental to the company's, you know, activities if I would go on vacation." So anyway, so he got really serious and he said, "If you go on vacation, I'm going to fire you." So yeah, that was a real wedge in our relationship. So anyway, so in the end, I ended up quitting and getting a different job. But let's see, what other jobs have I had? Well, the very first job I had was working as a dishwasher at a university cafeteria. Okay, so I just washed dishes part-time when I was in high school. That was great. I made some money. I made $5.90 an hour. And, you know, I would work on weekends, some weeknights and some weekends. Yeah, I saved up some money to buy some stuff for myself. So that was really great. And then my first job after high school was also a dishwasher in a restaurant. So I worked at that restaurant as a dishwasher for a couple months. And then I moved up to a prep cook. Do you know what a prep cook is? A prep cook is a person who works like in the back of the kitchen, just, you know, cutting vegetables, cleaning, just doing a lot of the behind the scenes stuff in a restaurant. So that's what I did for a few months. And then after a few months of that, I moved up to a line cook. A line cook is a cook who works in the front of the kitchen. Right, you know, actually cooking the meals, preparing the, you know, the all the items on the menu, making the plate look really nice, and then putting the plate out for the servers to take it to the customers. So that was a really great experience. I learned a lot about cooking. You know, before that, I didn't even really know anything about cooking. You know, most people don't know about cooking unless they're trained a little bit how to do it. You know, like most of the people in Asia here, right now I'm in Thailand, most of these people, I would say like 90% of the men and women in places like Thailand or China or other Asian countries, I would say like 90% of them don't know how to cook. Because the apartments here and in China, they don't have kitchens, right? The apartments aren't built with kitchens. So people don't know how to cook. And, you know, that's a bit of a tragedy that people always have to eat out at restaurants, but actually here it's so cheap to eat at restaurants that a lot of people, most people just go out and eat their food in restaurants for like, you know, $1 or $2. You can get a simple meal at a restaurant. Whereas in Canada, you know, going out to a restaurant is sort of a bit more of like a luxury thing. You know, you have to spend probably at least $10 or $15 or maybe $50 if it's a nicer place. But here it's really cheap, so nobody actually cooks their own food here. But I love cooking. You know, I love controlling what I eat, what I put in my body, and it's just fun. It's really fun to cook. I hope I can start my cooking show next year, or maybe I don't know, maybe in 2021. I don't know if I can start it next year. We'll see. Fingers crossed for next year. If not next year, then hopefully in 2021. But anyway, So what was I talking about? Cooking. I was talking about some jobs, my cooking job. What other jobs? Maybe I should stop and take a water break. I'm talking too fast. You know, sometimes people tell me in my videos I'm talking too slow. So I would say this speed I'm talking right now is about the same speed I would talk to another native English speaker. You know, if I'm talking to some people like, you know, from Canada or US, I would probably talk about this fast and probably almost exactly the same. In some of my videos, I purposely talk a little bit slower to, you know, so people can understand me more. Sometimes it's hard to know because people tell me I'm talking too fast Sometimes people tell me I'm talking too slow. It's just like, what do I do? I have to try to find a happy medium. But in this video, I think I'm probably talking a little bit faster than in a lot of my other videos. So let me know down in the comments if you understand me. If you understand me, maybe I'll just keep motoring along in all my videos. Motoring along is just a way to say I'm talking fast. I'm a motor mouth. A motor mouth is a person who just talks and talks. They never stop talking. Anyway, so let me know if this is a good talking speed or if you'd rather have me slow down a little bit. But a nice feature on YouTube, you might not know this, is on YouTube you can choose to speed up or slow down the playback of a video. Just in the corner you can select to watch it at like double speed or like 1.5 speed or slow it down to, I don't know how, and I've never actually done that before. I never do that when I watch other people's YouTube videos, but sometimes people tell me that they do that for my videos. They say, Mark, I'm watching your videos at double speed and I still understand it. So I'm just gonna pace back and forth here and think about what other jobs did I have. I told you about my cooking experience. Oh yeah, okay, so probably the best job I ever had was at Air Canada. I got a job working at Air Canada. I worked there part-time for 4 years while I was in college. And I would say that was probably the best job I ever had because I got to travel for really cheap. I mean, I could fly to, you know, places like Hong Kong for just like $25, I think, or fly to Germany. I think Germany was less than $100. So I did a lot of traveling. I went to India, I went to Thailand, I went to Germany like 5 times. I went to, I can't remember all my trips that I went on, but that was great because it was so cheap, you know, I could afford it. And, but anyway, the bad side of that job was that there were a lot of really old crotchety guys working there. Do you know what the word crotchety means? Crotchety means irritable. Just sort of rude, maybe cynical, sort of when people have a heart of stone. I would say those guys, those old guys working at Air Canada, man, they had a heart of stone sometimes. They were really crotchety. You know, if you'd make a mistake, they would just tear into you. Just start swearing at you and just tear into you. So that was hard for me working there because, you know, I'm a bit of a nice guy. I like to think of myself as like a nice guy. You know, I'm a pretty peaceful person. I don't like conflict with people. And so, you know, when you have these senior guys just like tearing you to shreds, it's a challenging work environment. So that's wasn't a great thing working with those crotchety old guys. Hey, now you know a new word, crotchety. You know, sometimes words in English are really have a very specific context that you only see a word in that context. So with the word crotchety, you always hear it with the word old man. Crotchety old man or crotchety old woman. Maybe, yeah, I think you could say it for men or women. And it's always with the word old. I don't think I've ever heard someone say a crotchety young man. It doesn't fit. Or a crotchety... Yeah, it's only in that situation, crotchety old man. I would say most of the time it's man. Sometimes it could be woman, but there's an example of an English word that is just has a very fixed place in the language. You can't use it in other situations. So let's think. What other jobs? That was Air Canada. Great job because I could travel. Now after I finished college, I went to China. I worked in China as an English teacher for kids for about a year and a half. I worked at two jobs. The first job I got fired from. I actually got fired. The only job I've ever been fired from in my life was in China. I'll tell you the story about that. But I worked two jobs in China. So the first job I got fired from. The second job I quit. It was both jobs. Man, I had bad experiences with employers in China. I had some great experiences in China. I really like China. I love Chinese people. But when it comes to the employers in China, I probably will never work in China again because just my bad experiences with the employers. So I remember the first day I landed in Beijing. I was going to work in Beijing, but then after 5 days, they asked me to go to Shanghai to work at the Shanghai location. So that was cool. I really liked Shanghai, probably more than I would have liked Beijing. So I was thankful for that. Everything was new, right? I'd never been to China before. And it was exciting. I was looking forward to my job teaching kids. So I had a few days of training. I think about halfway through my training, one of the managers of the company, they called me in for a meeting. I was sitting across from this woman, and she basically told me that I had to improve, or it was like a veiled threat. She said, I need to do better. I can't remember her exact words, but it was a veiled threat that if I didn't improve my game, if I didn't pick up my game, I would be, they were going to fire me. And that was extremely anxiety inducing. I mean, I just spent the last of my money flying into China. I had I was putting my best foot forward. I was trying so hard. I was trying my best. You've probably been in the situation too, where you're trying your best and it's just not good enough. You know, you're trying so hard and people have more expectations of you and you're not sure what they want. You're trying your best. And so, yeah, that was a bit confusing. I didn't know what to do, how to really improve in what I was doing. But anyway, so I passed training. Thank goodness I passed training. Then they really needed teachers, so they sent me down to Shanghai. So I lived in Shanghai for a while, and that was great. I got some really good experience teaching kids. The youngest kids I taught were about 2 years old, and the oldest ones were about 12 years old. So I got a good range of just experiencing what it's like teaching kids, and that was just so rewarding. It was rewarding for me to actually teach kids stuff. I taught kids how to read. So that was just really exciting for me, just to see how fast kids learn how to read and how to speak English, how to sing songs. I still remember a lot of the songs, you know, I taught those kids, and that was the highlight of my time in China, teaching kids. Chinese kids are so cute, just the cutest kids ever, and just smart, really smart kids, you know. Chinese parents put a really high value on education. So they start their kids young. A lot of times the parents would come to the school and they would want their kid like 2 years old to start learning English at 2 years old in like a school setting. That's young, right? The kid doesn't even know how to go pee by themselves. So that's different than in Western culture. Kids don't start going to preschool until much later, not 2 years old. They can barely walk. Anyway, but yeah, in terms of the job, the employers, it wasn't a great experience. You know, they just, in my experience of Chinese employers, they just want to squeeze you. Really nice. They have a nice face. You know, they when they interact with you, it's nice, but they always want you to just want to squeeze you, the money out of you. You know, they see your white face. Unfortunately, you know, that's how it is in China. They hire you. Well, in my case, for me, they hired me for my white face so I can, you know, provide a good image for the company. So people will think, you know, their kids are going to get a good like Western education. And then, so they just, I don't know, they just try to squeeze every last drop of money out of you and always want you to do more and more. And sometimes the expectations are just really not clear at all. And so I ended up getting fired. And I'll tell you that story right now. Okay, so I got fired because I got caught. I had called in sick when I wasn't sick. Okay, that's why I got fired. So if you think about it, that's a good reason to fire someone if they're lying, right? But let me give you some backstory, right? So it was a long weekend. We had a long weekend, and I had a friend from Germany who was living in the city of Qingdao. So I wanted to go to Qingdao to visit him, and then we were going to go to Beijing for 2 days together, and then I would come back. So it was a long weekend. I can't remember how many days we had off. It was like some Chinese holiday. I think we had 3 or 4 days off. And so I had a plan to take a sick day at the beginning and at the end of those days off to make the holiday a bit longer. Now, I hadn't taken any sick days in my entire time up to that point. That was about maybe I'd worked 8 or 9 months up to that point, and I hadn't taken a single sick day off. Whereas I was working with two American guys. One of the guys had taken weeks and weeks off. He was really sick. But also, there was another guy who would just always come to work sort of hungover because he'd been partying too late. You know, a lot of people go to China or go to other countries to teach English. They want to have a sort of a party lifestyle. I didn't have that lifestyle. I never did that in China. But the two American guys, they just had a terrible lifestyle in China. And so anyway, they took so many sick days. One of the guys even got fired for coming to work drunk, basically. But then somehow he got his job back. I don't understand how they gave him his job back because he was a heavy drinker. But anyway, so I thought I could get away with 2 days off. And I would have. Everything would have been great. So I went to, I took a train up to Qingdao, spent 1 or 2 days in Qingdao, and then we went to Beijing. And then while I was in Beijing, Beijing is a huge city. Okay, we're talking like 20 million people. Okay, huge city. Who do I see? Who do I run into? I run into the boss of the company, the CEO of the whole company. There were some schools in Beijing, some schools in Shanghai, and some schools in Shenzhen, I think. I think they were growing fast. They had other schools in different cities in China, I think. But anyway, in Beijing, that's where the head of the company lived. And we were out in, I think we were near Tiananmen Square or something like that. And he saw me and he said, "Hey Mark, how are you doing?" When I saw him, I was really nice. I was like, "Hey, how are you doing? Good." But after I saw him, I knew I was probably going to lose my job over it. He didn't talk about it. He just said, "Oh, are you taking a few days off?" And I said, "Yeah, just taking a few days off. I thought I'd come up here and enjoy the long weekend." And after walking away from that situation, I knew I was probably going to get fired over it. So sure enough, because I called in sick, right? And the people in Shanghai, they thought I was still in Shanghai. But really, I was traveling to Beijing. Anyway, when I get back to Shanghai, sure enough, they pull me into the office. They say, "What were you doing in Beijing? We caught you in Beijing." And I was like, "Well, I was there traveling with my friend. I took 2 sick days to go." And they're like, "Well, that's unacceptable." You know, and I understand that, right? I understand that. But from a business perspective, they should have understood that firing me was a bad decision because the kids loved me and the parents really loved me. And so that's really what a school wants, right? If the kids are happy and the parents are happy, then everybody should be happy. I always made a lot of money for the school. When parents would come to just check out the school to see if it was a good place, the company would provide a demo class for the kids, and then the parents could see, you know, what it was like there. And when I would teach these demo classes, I had a very high conversion rate. A lot of the parents would sign up after the class. And so I was a good employee, but I lied. I called in sick for those 2 days. Just those 2 days! And So they told me they were going to fire me. And I said, "Okay, if you fire me, I'm going to tell all the parents about it. I'm going to tell all the parents what happened." Because I was connected with the parents through different WeChat groups. WeChat is an app in China for like a social media. It's like WhatsApp in the Western world. So I threatened that. They threatened to fire me. I threatened to basically badmouth the school to all the parents. So in the end, they fired me. I sent a message to all the parents, and all the parents, there were probably like, I don't know, I sent it to probably at least 50 parents or maybe 100 parents of all my different classes. And I got so much support, so many positive responses from the parents. And they said, oh, we're going to miss you so much. We love you, Mark. We understand the situation. I told them honestly. I told them what happened. I told them that I went to Beijing, a city of 20 million people, and I happened to run into the boss of the company. One in 20 million chance. Can you believe it? Just think about those odds. One in 20 million. That's almost impossible. And it happened. And so the parents understood that. And the parents offered me a lot of sympathy and empathy. They said, that's so unlucky. We can't believe that happened. And they knew I was a good person. And they knew I was a good teacher. And the school just didn't. In my opinion, it was a mistake for the school to do that, especially given the fact that so many other teachers had taken so many sick days when they weren't really sick. And I was I took 2 sick days anyway, and I got caught. I got caught doing it. So anyway, that's the story of the only job in my life I've ever been fired from. So they canned me. They fired me. They sacked me. And then actually I got another job in South China near Guangzhou. That job had its problems too. How long is this video? I don't know if I should keep telling you so many stories about my bad experiences, but one of the reasons jobs suck so much is because sometimes you don't even know if you're going to get paid. You know, like in Canada, there are workers' rights that most places they have to give you 2 weeks off, for example, in Canada. 2 weeks isn't a lot, but that's the minimum. They have to give you 2 weeks off. In Europe, Europeans are lucky. They get a long vacation. You know, Europeans get, I think, 4 weeks or maybe 6 weeks vacation, which is much better. But in Canada, you only get 2 weeks off. At least that's the most I've ever had off at a job in Canada. But so in terms of money, that was extremely problematic in China. They never paid me on time. Not only that, but I was just really afraid if they would ever pay me. So when I started my second job in near Guangzhou, November 1st. I think it was November 1st. And so how it works in China, if they usually pay, I think, on the 15th of every month, and they only pay once a month. Okay, so if you start your job on November 1st, then you have to wait. You're only going to get paid on December 15th. Okay, so you have to wait 6 weeks to get paid. And that happened to me. Okay, so I started on November 1st and I worked for 6 weeks before getting any money. But then when it was time to pay me, they just didn't pay me. I waited for another day, you know. Maybe there's a problem or whatever. And this is how Chinese employers, they always say, oh, yeah, we're going to pay you, we're going to pay you. Then you wait another day. Oh, yeah, we're going to pay you. Then you wait another day. Oh, yeah, it's coming. There's some problem with the bank. Well, we're going to pay you. I waited several days. And it's like, imagine that working for over 6 weeks and you don't get any money. You start wondering if they're ever going to pay you or if they're just going to squeeze you until you quit. And then they don't have to pay you anything. So yeah, that was very nerve-wracking trying to get. In the end, they did pay me. They paid me several days late because I was just like, "Give me my money right now!" Basically, got really aggressive. You know, unfortunately, sometimes you have to get aggressive. I don't like that, but I was like, "Give me my money," kind of thing. And eventually they did pay me. But yeah, my experience with Chinese employers. Was pretty bad, you know. I felt really bad for the local Chinese people, the other teachers, the Chinese teachers, because they got treated bad too, and they have to work so hard. Chinese people work like 10 to 14 hours a day, 6 days a week, and, you know, my co-teachers, like the Chinese teachers, they got paid 4,000 RMB a month. 4,000 RMB, that's about what would that be? $800 Canadian, $900. I should have checked before making this video, but I think they got paid 4,000 RMB and I got 12,000 RMB. Okay, so my salary working, I think both jobs in China, I got 12,000 RMB a month, which is, I don't know, I think it's about, it's just over $2,000 Canadian. So it probably works out to maybe like $14 an hour or something like that. But anyway, so that was a problem in China, the just getting money. Actually, you have to get sort of aggressive and get really serious with people, like, give me my freaking money kind of thing. So anyway, I had some bad experiences teaching in, I mean, the teaching kids was great. I got some really good experience. I hope I can teach kids again in the future. That would be, it was fun. It was fun playing with those kids, singing songs, teaching them about the alphabet, teaching them, even did some like math. And I didn't just, most of it was teaching English, but I taught some other stuff too, like some math and some science. But anyway, those were some of the jobs. Boy, I don't want this video to, this video is probably already way too long. So I hope you're still watching. Smash like if you're still watching. If you disappeared half an hour ago, then I probably won't hear much from you. But anyway, thank you guys so much for your support. Let's see, so what is the point of this video? Point of this video is, I don't know, just jobs. Sometimes jobs are really, really frustrating. And I'd like to help you, to help you sort of break free from that if you want that, you know, if your job, if you've had some of the similar experiences at jobs that I've had, you know, maybe you could really make a go of it with YouTube. So I'd like to, you know, make some videos on that. Let me know down in the comments what your thoughts on that would be. And let me know your experiences. Have you had good experiences at work? Have you had some terrible experiences? I just wanted to tell you about some of my experiences. You know, I made a video a few weeks ago about why school sucks. Some of my thoughts about school. I'll probably make a part two to that video soon. But anyway, I want you to let me know some of your experiences. I'd be interested to know, what your job is. What do you do for work? I mean, so many people have asked me. I thought I should sort of explain what some of my jobs have been in my life and what I'm doing now. I'm a YouTuber. I make my money online. Now I have freedom to go all around the world if I want. Well, not live in expensive countries, but I can travel to cheap countries like Thailand. So I'm very thankful for that. Thank you guys so much for all your support. I really appreciate it. I hope you're having a great day wherever in the world you are. Just connect with me down in the comments. Ask me some questions. Let me know your thoughts on this topic. And I don't know, if I forgot some stuff, I might make a part two of this video too, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, enough for now. I'll see you over in the next episode of Mad English TV. Take care.